Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, Patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast on this ninth day of July already. And this is episode 23-18, the 18th podcast of the year. And tonight I am going to cover some updates with Russia, Ukraine, NATO, the NATO countries. And the reason why is because the 11th, Tuesday, NATO is supposed to be holding their summit. They call it a one-day summit, but it's the 10th and 11th. So one day is when they're going to be really covering what they're there for. It's when they're going to get down to brass tacks. So there are some new developments related to that. Some alarming indicators pointing to their potential intent. So we want to track that very closely, because from a civil defense perspective and what they are trying to do to rush us into a war, very concerning and something that we should have good situational awareness on. And I'm also going to talk about China and some of the things that they're involved in, the emerging threat that they continue to be, and some of the things on the landscape that we need to also be watching. Artificial intelligence. Now they are working on developing hybridized humans, combining them with animals. And, I mean, just up to no good. And these are wild times. And from any of these things, there's no going back. I mean, once they start with AI, once they start genetically modifying DNA of animals and humans and splicing them together for the purpose of creating hybrid creatures, it's not something that's just going to be, oh yeah, you remember about 150 years ago when they were experimenting with that? No, they're going full force forward. And this is all set up for an end game that we were told long ago that was coming. And now we're at the threshold. So I'll be talking about those things and bring on Lady Liberty in segment 4. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. There with Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher. And the website there is prepping2-0.com. And boy, if we ever had need to double down on our efforts to take our preps to the next level, it's right now, while we have this borrowed time, because the world is going to get very interesting and probably without much of a warning. Here's your warning. All right. First, from the National Pulse, this situation in Europe, remember we covered last week with the riots, you know, embrace your conquerors. Muslims taking to the streets and burning France to the ground. We're saying this is going to spread. And of course it did. It spread into Belgium, the Netherlands. And I said, I was surprised actually that Germany wasn't next to go up into flames. Well, here we are. From the National Pulse, at least 26 police officers injured and around 100 people arrested at an Eritrean cultural event. Gotta love that diversity. For the sake of diversity, this cultural event held in the German city of Gießen over the weekend, hundreds of Eritreans tried to force their way into the festival's venue as a means of showing opposition to the African country's autocratic leader. The German authorities said in a public statement that there were massive attacks against officers during the protest, with hundreds of Eritrean men throwing smoke bombs, bottles, and stones, as well as damaging vehicles and ripping down fencing, around the festival's venue. As a result, the police were forced to use pepper spray and batons to defend themselves. Quote, "Our police officers are not the buffer for conflicts from third world countries," argues the Interior Minister Hessen Peter Buth following the event. Well, I beg to differ. They are the buffer. You basically have taken the results of your immigration policy decisions, and what you've essentially done is thrown your countrymen into a meat grinder. He said, "It must be made clear to the Eritrean government that Eritrean conflicts must not be carried out on German soil." Well, guess which finger the Eritrean government is sticking up toward Germany right now? As they're taking in checks that are being sent back to Eritrea, that's a cash cow. So, hey, you're just reaping what you've sown. I feel bad for the patriots there, because there are patriots, people who love their country, their heritage, their culture. They want to maintain it. Gotten steamrolled by globalist, communist, World Economic Forum types that just really don't care about the culture or the language or the borders. In fact, they're irritated by it, and they're behind the destruction of it. And it continues on in France, not with the intensity that we saw, but it is still going on. So France is now banning the sale of fireworks on Bastille Day, which is like, you know, our 4th of July Independence Day. No fireworks. Well, because they're firing fireworks at the police and buildings and passersby. Well, while leftist, globalist, communist Macron was off gallivanting around Eastern Europe, while Muslims were burning his country to the ground, and while he was trying to explain away the causal factor is video games and climate crisis and whatever else, parents blaming everything else except for the Muslims that were carrying out Hijra. Well, from smartencyclopedia.org, not very smart, but listen to this headline. This just came out just today. "Far-right violence on the march again," warns French intelligence chief. Your city is still smoldering from a nationwide Muslim attack, an insurrection with automatic weapons. People were killed. People were raped. Buildings were burned to the ground. And the French intelligence chief is warning of far-right violence. What we've seen are patriots taking to the streets to push back against these people coming into their neighborhoods to burn it down and steal their cars and smash windows. And they took to the streets to defend their communities. And then there was the headlines: right-wing extremists carrying out vigilante actions, taking the law into their own hands. And they went around door to door arresting these far-right members of the, you know, their communities. So listen to this. This is how insane the world is. "Recent incidents involving the harassment of mayors indicate a concerning trend of growing boldness among hardcore groups." Yes, the harassment of the mayors, like when the Muslims plowed into the mayor's house and caught it on fire with his family in it, that's a hardcore group. But see, they don't name the hardcore group that did that because they have a narrative. According to France's Director General of Internal Security, Nicolas Lerner, there has been a very worrying resurgence of violent actions and intimidation by the ultra-right since the spring. Lemmer expressed his concerns in an interview with Le Monde, highlighting specific attacks on mayors in, he names some places that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Lerner, who has been heading the DGSI since 2018, voiced his worries about the increasing normalization of violence and the inclination to impose ideas through fear and intimidation within the ultra-right movement. Just don't even look at what the Muslims are doing, burning your country down. The women who are scared to death to leave their homes alone, which is estimated to have around 2,000 members. The ultra-right movement has about 2,000 members. He emphasized that since 2017, 10 planned terrorist attacks by the ultra-right have been thwarted. So, in other words, 10 planned terrorist attacks by the ultra-right weren't carried out. How about all the terrorist attacks by the Muslims who have been carried out? And you're worried about 2,000 members of what you call the ultra-right when you had hundreds of thousands of Muslims owning the streets, attacking the police, driving the police back. They had operational control of police stations that they burned down, of government buildings, schools, residences, shops. They looted, they burned. They raped, they murdered, they stole, they completely overran your country. And you're concerned, and not about the hundreds of thousands of Muslims in multiple dozens and dozens of cities across France. No, you're worried about the 2,000 members of the ultra-right and 10 terrorist attacks that were planned, but that were thwarted. And they were probably planned by agents saying, hey, let's make a pipe bomb. Here, look at this. Look what I made. Here, hold it. If they're anything like the FBI that we see thwarting far-right terrorist attacks in the United States, it's usually agents providing all the material support and the motivation and everything else. And you find out that you got this group of 10 or 15 guys planning a terrorist attack and like 14 of them are federal agents. All right. Let's move on. Australia's fertility rates plummet to the lowest level on record. This is according to Slay News. Fertility rates in Australia have plummeted this year to the lowest levels the nation's ever recorded. They're at like 1.2 and they should be at 2.1 to sustain their numbers, their birth rates to maintain their citizens' numbers, their population. But why? Because the mainstream, slipstream, legacy media is covering this, and they're shocked. So my question is why? I'm curious to know their explanation for why this is happening. Well, the article states that experts are divided on the cause of the plummeting fertility rates. The corporate media argues that low immigration in Asian countries are causing populations to shrink. They also argue that climate change is impacting birth rates. So, some globalist experts insist that the people are holding off starting a family due to fears of another pandemic or alleged climate crisis. People are not afraid of a climate crisis. It's a hoax. But according to independent journalist J.D. Rucker over at the Liberty Daily, the establishment media and their allies are ignoring the obvious. Quote, ever since the rollout of COVID-19 vaccines, evidence started emerging that they caused reproductive damage to recipients, Rucker writes. He goes on, these pieces of evidence were debunked, quote unquote, in the beginning. Such gaslighting continued through the vax-pushing phase of the pandemic panic theater. Only recently have corporate media outlets started acknowledging bits and pieces of truth, conveniently after the vast majority of those who would get jabbed already did. He said, they'll blame climate change, they'll blame racism, they'll blame conservatives, but the one thing the powers that be won't ever mention is the obvious culprit, the COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccines cause infertility. Some will argue that I'm not a doctor, so I couldn't know. And he writes, I may not be a doctor, but I'm not a willful idiot either. The cause is apparent, prima facie. evidence on its face right there in front of you. And listen to this. From the Daily Skeptic, picked up on this Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsies, which found that 74% were caused by the vaccine. But the study was removed within 24 hours. 325 autopsies they reviewed after COVID vaccination found that 74%, this is from their review from Lancet, 74% of the deaths were caused by the vaccine, but the study was removed within 24 hours. And they're saying that this preprint has been removed by preprints with the Lancet because the study conclusions are not supported by the study methodology. While the study had not undergone any part of the peer review process, the note implies it fell foul of screening criteria. So their peer review process means you have to have your peers who are funded by grants from Big Pharma to review your study to see if they agree with it. So it continues. And, you know, just I don't have this in front of me. I just saw the World Health Organization and National Institute of Health are agreeing that going into this fall, they really stress people take the flu shot and the COVID shot and another one. I can't remember what it is. The flu shot is FDA approved. The COVID-19 is not and never was and never will be approved. COVID-19 is not an FDA approved drug. But it's still on their recommendation list, even though there's no pandemic, no scamdemic anymore. But they recommend the flu shot and the COVID shot and another one. Why? Well, because they're depopulationists, I contend. The Wall Street Journal blames abysmal recruitment numbers on military veterans from the Liberty Daily. The Wall Street Journal, blaming the recruitment numbers is from Zero Hedge. The Wall Street Journal piece heaping the blame on the military recruitment crisis on those who have served. Yes, you read that right. Military veterans are the problem. Not the drag queens, not the anti-white rhetoric and policies of Lloyd Austin, not coerced participation in experimental drug trials, but those who enlisted and served. It's appalling that our media blames low recruitment numbers on people who sacrifice and risk their lives for their country. The headline and teaser read as follows. And this is the headline and teaser at the Wall Street Journal read, "The military recruiting crisis. Even veterans don't want their families to join. Pentagon scrambles to retain the main pipeline for new service members as disillusioned families steer young people away." You know what? You're doggone right. And it's not veterans that are causing the problem with the recruiting. It's your policies. It's your communist, globalist, anti-American, death and maiming shot policies. Your drag queen story hours that you're having on military bases. The indoctrination. All of this. I would never let any of my kids join the military now. I have two that are out of the military now, and they are so glad to be out because they had to endure the absolute insanity and the pressure to get jabbed on a regular basis. Fortunately, they got out before they were forced out. Their time was up. They got out and you need to re-enlist. Nope, sayonara. Out of here. Not under this communist regime. God bless them. All right. We'll be back right after this break. We're going to start talking about China, continuing with the emerging threat that they are and are continuing to become. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
One podcast dares to be different. This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt. And in this segment, I'm going to talk about China. I'm going to start off with a quote or a clip from Gordon Chang on Fox News. And he was asked if the Chinese coming across the border are anti-communist people simply fleeing China, or are they part of the Chinese military? He's an expert on China and the threat that they are and the emerging threat that they have become. Well, he says they're both. Listen here.
First of all, we're seeing desperate middle-class Chinese. These are generally not poor people because they can afford to pay $35,000 a head to the Mexican cartels to bring them in. But among them are packs of males of between 5 and 15 who are of military age, not coming with family groups, pretending not to speak English, and engaging in Chinese military rituals like drinking blood. A border section patrol chief said that some of them are known to have Chinese military affiliations. So clearly these are saboteurs coming into America to wage war on the United States on the first day that there is war in Asia.
That is just drinking blood? Is that what you just said?
Yes. One of the Chinese military rituals is to slaughter an animal, in this case, chickens. Michael Yan, a war correspondent, has seen this. And they basically, they drink the blood. And this was done in a hotel in Panama after they crossed the Darien Gap from Colombia. So we know that these are Chinese military coming into our country.
Okay, now I talked about that 2 weeks ago, where this the jungle tigers, this special forces unit, their ritualistic sacrificing of chickens and drinking shots of their blood as, you know, a celebration of accomplishing training or in preparation for going on an operation. And that's what's being witnessed happening down there. But they're up to other things as well. From headlineusa.com, the CCP military is the world leader in brain neurostrike weapons. Neuro, as in neurological. Neurostrike weapons. The CCP views neurostrike and psychological warfare as a core component of its asymmetric warfare strategy against the United States and its allies in the Indo-Pacific. Communist China became an even bigger threat to the world and the American people, specifically after a new report revealed that China became a world leader in the creation of neurostrike weapons that target brain function. The 12-page report that was written by three intelligence analysts stated that the Chinese Communist Party and the People's Liberation Army have been developing weapons that could use microwaves or other directed energy weapons to control brain function. Unknown to many, the article goes on, the Chinese Communist Party and its army have established themselves as world leaders in the development of neurostrike weapons. These platforms directly attack or even control mammalian brains, including humans, with microwave / directed energy weapons via standalone platforms like a handheld gun or the broader electromagnetic spectrum. This report was titled Enumerating, Targeting, and Collapsing the Chinese Communist Party's Neurostrike Program. And it was written by a former Army microbiologist, Zhao Zhu Jin Lin, and former Air Force Intelligence Officer L.J. Eads. So they are working on this, and it looks like they are making huge advancements. A senior U.S. official stated that China wanted to use emerging biotechnologies to try to develop future military applications that included gene editing, human performance enhancement, and brain-machine interfaces. So, with brain-machine interfaces, they're working with breakneck speed on artificial intelligence. It's a race. Now, AI is a huge deal. Listen to this. If you guys remember, and I covered this when this first came out. In 2020, from BreakingDefense.com, and there's several military-related outlets that covered this, in a 5-0 sweep, an AI pilot developed by Heron Systems beat one of the Air Force's top F-16 fighter pilots in DARPA's simulated aerial dogfight contest. They're saying it's a giant leap. So in a simulated dogfight using flight simulators, one of the most experienced, trained, top gun level F-16 pilots goes up against AI and he gets smoked 5 out of 5 times. Now, here's something interesting further down in the article. They said that the AI pilots, what they call agents, these AI agents were not very, many of them were not very good at flying. But within a week, they went into the simulation and took out our top F-16 fighter pilot within a week. This is in 2020. It took them a week to say AI weren't very good pilots. In a week, they're taking out our best top pilots 3 years ago. So how far have they gotten in 3 years? So they want to use AI along with a pilot. So AI can fly the plane and engage targets while the pilot becomes basically a flight mission commander with multiple drones operated by AI seeking out targets or being directed by the pilot who's basically making sure everything's... So now you can have an F-16, F-35, whatever, with 10 or 15 fighter drones, strike vehicles, all being controlled by AI in by one plane, all engaging multiple different targets or covering for each other, targets on the ground, interdicting other aircraft. Now you take 5 or 10 F-35s up, they can wreak some havoc on an entire region and own it. Well, China is fast up and coming. They are right on the heels of AI, in AI with the United States. According to Global China Daily, China has achieved remarkable progress in the field of artificial intelligence. Proof is its second position in the Artificial Intelligence Innovation Index for the third straight year, trailing only the United States. So more efforts should be made to consolidate the gains made already and aim at the top slot next, domain experts said. So U.S. and China, followed by the United Kingdom, then Germany, then Singapore, then Canada, Japan, and South Korea, according to a Global AI Innovation Index report that came out last year in 2022. So where are things now? Now, remember back in the first article that I mentioned, they were talking about integrating brain function with artificial intelligence and hybridizing creatures, splicing together DNA. Well, listen to this. This just came out. Human-animal hybrids called Chimera, C-H-I-M-E-R-A, Laura Logan says the new legislation, this is legislation she's that's addressing this. And actually, let me back up. It's actually pronounced Chimera. C-H-I-M-E-R-A. Chimera. All right. So, journalist Laura Logan is talking about the Endless Frontiers Act, a comprehensive bill sponsored by Senator Chuck Schumer, passed the Senate Friday, leading some critics to point to a little-noticed move that could open a Pandora's box of unknown bioengineering with the help of federal funds. So, the larger bill has 6 Republicans and 7 Democrats Senate co-sponsors, according to congressional records. It's reported that $250 billion in the Endless Frontiers Act will be allocated to promote emerging technologies to help the U.S. better compete with Chinese innovation. But she noted that some of that Chinese experimentation has included a successful endeavor in April to create human monkey embryos that lasted 20 days in a laboratory. So they're all excited about this. This is a National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, and its leader, Dr. Anthony Fauci, have been under fire from lawmakers like Senator Rand Paul, that U.S. funding potentially has gone toward similarly dangerous Chinese experiments like gain-of-function research on coronaviruses. Fauci has denied NIAID's financial involvement in the Wuhan experiments. Of course, we're seeing that those are just pure just lies. So, a piece of legislation they were trying to pass, this measure to prevent funding that would go toward Chimera research. And they're saying that Chimera research is a Pandora's box from hell that should not be opened. Well, they are going to open it. And Revelation talks about creatures that are going to do some pretty unspeakable things. But the scientific community, spurred on by their own hubris, may very well open it and using taxpayer dollars. Bruce said Democrats who blocked Lankford's measure to prevent such funding would have blood on their hands if U.S. money made its way into purported Chimera labs in China. So they have actually successfully spliced the DNA from monkeys and humans. They only lasted 20 days. But this is what they're working toward. Can you imagine splicing human embryos and growing creatures mixed with bears, mixed with tigers, any type of creature, something that could think and reason, have rational thinking, but it was, like the size of a badger or a cobra. I mean, it's endless. These people are going to militarize this type of bioscience. And what a thing to have going on. So Newsweek ran an article. An international team of scientists working in China genetically modified the embryos of monkeys by turning off the genes which create organs and then inserting human stem cells. Stem cells are special because they can become another type of cell in the body, such as a nerve of a muscle cell. The approach involves the embryo of a species which is a few days old and human embryonic stem cells brought together in a way which would enable them to grow harmoniously, according to MIT Technology Review. If successful, scientists could create chimeras which contain organs made of human cells. A chimera is an organism which contains 2 different sets of DNA. However, the would-be chimera is not alive as researchers stopped the process. Really? We're supposed to believe that? And we're supposed to believe that China stopped the process as well? The work is led by Juan Carlos Busuzzi of the Salk Institute. California researchers at Mercia Catholic University was carried out in China to sidestep the potential legal issues, ding, 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 according to El Pay. The researchers did not release further details to the newspaper as they said they planned to publish their findings in a scientific journal. So they said the researchers plan to experiment with human cells and rodent and pig cells, as well as with non-human primates, monkeys. So the evolutionists want to take us back. They want to take us back and start creating freak hybrid monkeys with humans. Unbelievable. But not so unbelievable in this insane world. That's what China's got planned. You combine that with AI. You can imagine the types of creatures you could have in the military technology, flying planes, missiles. It's going to get real interesting. And these are real. These are real programs that are being developed right now. All right. Stay right there. We'll be back with segment three. Going to give some NATO-Ukraine updates. So stay right there.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, going into segment three with our World War III updates here. Thank you guys for being with us. First, I want to take just a quick review of what I covered last week. Yahoo News covering Ukrainian president urging NATO to send his country a clear sign that it can join the military alliance, right? Because this NATO's holding this summit over in... I think it's Lithuania, on Tuesday. So he's pushing for, well, when the war's over, then will you let us in? We need a quick signal, quick decision. Ukraine is getting their behinds handed to them right now. This offensive is not going very well, and people are getting pretty tired of funding this. Well, then remember... that Victoria Nuland, the head of the U.S. State Department, has officially stated in a video conference that World War III will effectively begin on July 11th, stating that the U.S. and its partners will fight as long as it takes, 16 years or more. Now, if we're already at war with them, making this, taking it as long as it takes and whatever it takes, why would it start on July 11th? What's going to be different for them to say, okay, now World War III is effectively beginning on Tuesday? Why? Because what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be saying? What decision are you going to be making? Well, we picked this up off of Twitter that the Prime Minister of Estonia, Kaja Kallas, said Ukraine is in for a surprise regarding NATO membership at the July summit. All right, and she said that she didn't want to spoil the surprise. So we're all with bated breath here. What are you guys up to? What are you planning? Because now we're getting confusing reports. RT, which is RussiaToday.com, Germany supposedly to block NATO guarantee for Ukraine. This is coming from the Telegraph. Berlin reportedly prefers alternative security arrangements for Kiev to avoid direct conflict with Moscow. So Germany is now signaling that they are going to try to block it. And then this from the Liberty Daily, bribery Biden says Ukraine is not ready for NATO. On Sunday, Biden came out against the Ukraine membership, saying they aren't ready. Of course, it could be that they don't have the votes. Technically, NATO works on consensus, but if there are one or two stragglers, it has been relatively easy to cut backroom deals to keep their objections quiet if the larger body agrees on an aspirant's membership. So now we've got this regime talking out of both sides of their mouth because generally they're lying anyway. At least whenever Biden speaks, he's lying. Or one of his press secretaries, they lie. They have no credibility. Zero. I'm more inclined to think that there's something going on because of what Victoria Nuland said, combined with this Prime Minister of Estonia saying, well, we don't want to ruin any surprises. We don't want to ruin it. But Ukraine's in for a big surprise regarding NATO membership for this meeting coming up. Okay, so now, just pick this up from Amir Sarfati. Turkey and Russia, tensions. Russia is not happy with what the re-elected Turkish president is doing. Erdogan supports Ukraine's efforts to liberate Crimea and vows to help Ukraine joining NATO soon and frees all Azov fighters and returns them back to Ukraine. So now, tensions, to say the least. Russia is not happy with Turkey. So they are going to be pushing for Ukraine membership. I'm not sure how this is all going to turn out, but we're going to be following this because what's going to happen on Tuesday could be monumental. It could just be like, you know, the calm before the storm. We don't know. We don't know. It's you cannot predict or project other than what you can know is that anything they tell you is deception. So this takes me to this. This is going to be a short segment here. Simon Roche from South Africa posted this. Well, he was posting this. He was reacting to a video of a mumbling, partially coherent Biden when he said that he sold lots of secrets. Remember that video? It's gone all over the place. So this is what Simon wrote, reacting to that video and just the framed up in everything going on in the world right now. And he said this, and this is kind of where my mind has been going because it's beyond my power or control to influence any of it. So we just get taken for a ride, really. And it's very frustrating. But this is what he writes. The world, or much of it, is readying to move in for the kill. That's not because the USA's president is poor, but because the people of the USA, by and large, freely accept it. Now, this is just an observation from outside looking in. This is what people are thinking about Americans right now. And he loves America. He's a very pro-American guy. But he says that acceptance betrays weakness that the Russians, Iranians, Viets, Chinese, and others believe will allow them to beat those people in a terminal conflict. This projected weakness by Biden is basically encouraging our enemies. But this is what got my attention. If I was an American, every single thing I was doing now would be devoted to prospering in a devastating civil conflict, the fifth column mustn't be overlooked, and catastrophic foreign attack. And it's almost like I feel like we are like the videos of the Ukrainians 2 weeks before Russia began their invasion. and they're sitting in these little outdoor cafes, reading the paper, meeting with friends, having coffee. Life is good. And now those very places now are rubble. Those lives are completely shattered. What was normal to them, and they couldn't even comprehend what was coming, was so beyond anything that they knew. They weren't acting like in a year the very place they were sitting having a cup of coffee in peace, in the shade, beautiful, you know, fall or summer day would be gone. And I don't know, if you looked at it like how close we are by the indicators, what would we be doing differently to position ourselves so that we could survive or thrive in this type of a situation where a devastating civil conflict or a catastrophic foreign attack? So I don't know what that means for you. That made me do some introspective reevaluating some things I could be or should be doing differently. And that'll be different for everybody. But I just want to leave you with that. And I'll repeat it before we go into the break. If I was an American, every single thing I was doing now would be devoted to prospering in a devastating civil conflict, the fifth column mustn't be overlooked, and catastrophic foreign attack. We'll be back with segment four right after this. There's wars and rumors of wars. 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 Wars and rumors of wars.
At the end of the day, either the communists win, destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
All right, welcome back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment of episode 2318. And in this final episode, we've got codename segment four here. Lady Liberty has joined me in the studio. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening, and thank you for having me. As always, there's something that I have that will kind of add to what you were bringing in, talking about the chimeras, you know, there we had watched a sermon where a pastor was tying the production of chimeras into the biblical statement where Jesus says in the end times, it'll be the same as the times of Noah and Lot. Mm-hmm. And so he was making the comparison to the changing of the DNA.
Yes.
In the people, which is why the whole flood happened anyway.
That's right. The Lord had to completely annihilate everything, all the DNA, or they're genetically impure. But the Nephilim, or they were all their DNA was whacked out. It was
That's
messed
right.
up. And Noah was the only one, Noah and his family. Well, Noah was the only one that was pure in his lineage.
Right. And it's just kind of a fascinating thing to think that, history repeats itself. And when right. when it's let go to the point of depravity like we're at now, this kind of thing starts showing up. And clearly we are in the end times. And I don't think there's anybody out there that would disagree with that at this point. But, you know, so it's just a, it's at the same time, it's terrible to watch. It's also a comfort to know that, that Revelation has laid that all out for us, that we can know what to expect.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because when you know how close you are to the end, to this chapter of the earth, of the world, of the earth,
right,
and what's coming, it's exciting. It's going, it's just going to be so much better and so glorious that he said, okay, when it comes to that point, this is what it's going to look like. So when we see what it looks like, we should be saying, yes, this is like front row seats.
Right, exactly. Like right now, we would be fearful if we thought this was the end. If we thought that this was, you know, this world was the end all, and if this goes bad, we're out of luck. Well, that's not the case with Christians. And,
right.
And so we get to, at this point, where we're recognizing, we're looking around and seeing things matching up with biblical prophecy, we get to start having more of the forward thinking of
yes.
the new millennium where we rule and reign with him as his kings and priests. And so what I wanted to share this evening was, in addition to China being on the you know, the cutting edge of chimera production,
yes,
and the United States now wanting to keep up with that, so that we're not left behind in any
right.
kind of military
yeah.
disadvantage.
What
right?
could go wrong there, right?
Right. And so, well, what a nightmare that part is. But so we might expect that, you know, as you're reading Revelation. But we already know that Revelation 13 describes mark of the beast, and nobody will be able to buy or sell without the mark of
right.
the beast. And so as we've been watching all of the technology advancing, racing toward that end,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've been reporting on all of the little bits and pieces of progress that they've been making. And so this clip that I have is from the World Economic Forum, and here a WEF agent from India openly is describing the coming digital cashless society, and it will be regulated, and those who are determined to be less desirable will be locked out from using it. Listen to what he has to say.
And the one final note I will make is that if you think about the benefits of digital money, there are huge potential gains. It's not just about digital forms of physical currency. You can have programmability, you know, units of central bank currency with expiry dates. You could have, as I argue in my book, a potentially better, and yeah, some people might see it, or a darker world where the government decides that units of central bank money can be used to purchase some things, but not other things that it deems less desirable, like, say, ammunition or drugs or pornography or something of the sort. And that is very powerful in terms of the use of a CBDC.
Oh, yeah. Things that are less desirable, like ammunition, Bibles, subscriptions to ministries.
That's right.
Blocking payments to support ministries. I mean, they'll use. You notice he didn't say anything about, well, he did say pornography, but they'll always make sure that they have access to, you know, little kids.
Oh yeah, how, you know. Right. The most but, disgusting, but.
But you know, on the one hand, you say, "Oh, this is dreadful. This is horrible." With AI, China, with the splicing humans, making creatures, making, you know, want this currency, this one world currency. And we're like, wait, it's all supposed to happen.
Right.
It is all going according to plan.
That's right.
And so that part, now, if you weren't a Christian and you didn't have a Bible and you don't know your Bible and you haven't read it to the end, it would be such a sense of despair.
Yes, right.
You know, really. And so, as far as I'm concerned, there will be wars and rumors of wars in those times. Okay, well, maybe we should stock up on some food, not out of fear, have a means of self-defense, be self-reliant. When supply chains stop, make sure you can, you and your family and your community can still function. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And but for people that don't understand that, it's got to be a pretty dismal. Once it starts to sink in what's coming and they don't want to be a part of it, but I don't want to be a Christian either. I'm not a religious person, you know.
Oh, you will be.
There will be no irreligious people.
No.
Yeah, because
you're gonna be forced to choose. You're either gonna be forced to choose to worship Satan or worship God.
Yeah, you'll worship the Antichrist and you'll prove it by taking his mark.
That's
and that's
right.
The only way you'll be able to buy or sell. And or you're gonna worship Jesus.
That's right.
You won't be able to say, no, I opt out of the whole religious thing. It's just not for me, so I'm not gonna worship anybody.
Right.
You will. Or you'll die. I mean, or that's the option.
Exactly.
You know,
then. Well, and one sermon that we listened to this last Saturday was especially poignant in that it described how after the rapture, where the church is taken up, the door is closed.
Yes.
The door for grace. The time frame that God allotted for grace to where... you know, you could be saved by his blood is that door is closed. So I mean there's a time limit to this. And so once you miss that and then you find yourself in the great tribulation, then your own death is required. Because prior to then, the grace of the Lord is the blood shed by Jesus at the cross.
Right.
And so that will go to pay for all of your sin debt. And so that grace period ends the second the rapture happens, because he closes the door behind, the Lord closes the door behind us.
Right.
And then, you know, there is no more grace at that point. And anybody that dies after that point, it's, if they die for the Lord at that point, it will be their life that they have to give in order to do that.
Right.
And so,
but only if they, if they accept Christ
at that point,
then his blood still is the only thing that can cover their sins.
That's right.
It's just that those that are living, who are followers of Christ will be snatched out of that.
That's
that
right.
Wrath.
They don't,
that wrath is not appointed toward the church.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, all it says you, believers will be persecuted in the tribulation, so there will be believers. Yes, there will. There will be millions and millions of people who thought they were Christians or rejected it that are going to realize there's only two sides, and they'll have to make a choice.
You know, right.
Get on one side or the other. So there will be a lot of Christians in the tribulation who were not ready for when the bridegroom came.
Right, exactly. And there's a Bible verse that basically describes that to a T. That is from Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that reads, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him."
Yes.
And so that is the description of the five wise virgins that make
right.
it into the rapture instead of being left behind.
Yep. And they go into the bridal chamber with the groom, and the door is shut.
Yep.
And the rest of them are going to be knocking. What about us? What about us? And it's sorry. And then whoever's going through the tribulation is in trouble.
Yes.
Whether you're a believer or not,
that's
you're
right.
in trouble. The things that are going to happen to mankind that are coming up so quickly are not survivable. They're simply not.
Right.
If you survive the first wave, then you won't survive the second. If you survive the second wave, then there's the third.
Right.
And it's going to keep coming. And it's going to be like these creatures that the Chinese are making, those are going to be real.
Right.
You know, and not to mention asteroids and earthquakes and fires and famine.
Tidal
and
waves.
War
and all of the Antichrist trying to kill every Christian and
that's right. And so if the Antichrist is trying to behead all the Christians, and he will,
right.
most all of them, so the safest thing is to not become a Christian. Well, nope. Everybody dies.
Yes.
And the people that accept the mark, there's a certain point where what's unleashed on them is torment. They will want to die. They will try to die, but won't be able to die.
That's right.
They won't even be able to commit suicide. The torment will be so horrible. Meanwhile, the Christians who aren't being tormented by that are going to be hunted down and beheaded.
Right.
So because we're coming up so quickly, because things in the world are escalating so quickly, we are, that's why we're putting this message out there.
Well, exactly. Because there are people that are lukewarm, and that's a scary place to be, because the Lord says he will vomit those people out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And they will end up hearing him say, who are you? I never knew you. Depart from me,
right,
you who practice lawlessness. And so, you know, that's a very important point to make as well.
You know what my recommendation, and not going into the fear stuff, and, you know, I would recommend everybody read Revelation chapters 1-6. Just stop there.
Right.
You don't have to get into all the creatures and the dragon and all the confusing stuff and the mayhem and, you know, fire and brimstone and blood flowing bridal deep and all that stuff. Just stop all that for right now. Just read chapters 1-6. Those are letters from Jesus to the churches, the seven churches.
That's right.
Or the seven churches.
Yeah.
And what his message to each of those churches is different. You, one of those, his description of you will match one of those churches.
That's right.
Either you've got your act together, which is like one, maybe two churches. I have to reread that again.
Right.
But the rest of them think they're okay, and they're not.
Yep.
Or they've got issues, or they're off track, and he addresses them. Fix this, or your lampstand will be removed.
Yep.
And so if you read through those chapters 1-6 in Revelation, you're going to find that describing you, one of those churches, is going to be a perfect description of you in your life. Maybe even two, maybe three churches. His descriptions, the issues that he has with them that puts them in danger. We could each read those and go, ooh, that's me.
Right.
That applies to me. And so you only have to, don't even worry about everything after chapter 6 right now. Go to, you know, chapters 1-6 first.
Right. Start there and do some very serious self-introspection. And like we keep telling people right now, nothing could be more important than to purify your heart, walk in the Lord's ways, be as close to him as you have ever been, and pray to be closer. That's truly the recipe that you need to follow right now. And mm-hmm. and of all times in human history, there has never been a time like this. And so we couldn't send a more urgent warning.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to have the layout already there. That
yes.
we can just reference it, you know. We know how this ends, and we know that it ends very, very well for Christians who have the anointing of the Lord upon them and
yep.
and are walking in his ways and are showing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that they can be as close to him as possible and be a blessing to everyone around them. And so, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yep, that's right. So, like I said, you know, at a certain point, this is the only thing that is going to matter very soon.
Right.
This right here, this message, this whole concept, this whole, the premise of all of this, nothing else is going to matter.
Yep, that's right.
It could be weeks, it could be months, but it's coming up.
Right, and if you have months or more, call that a blessing and call every day very, very important and critical to this end, that
yep.
you can use that time wisely, that you can, if anything, walk first in humility, like we've been covering for mm-hmm. the past month, because humility is first on the radar as a one of the characteristics of the people that will inherit the kingdom.
That's right.
And so a humble and a meek people is what he will leave as a remnant that actually are with him to rule and reign as his kings and priests. It's meek and humble. And so
yeah.
as much as you can follow into those footsteps and be meek and humble, do it right now.
Right.
Work on it every single day until suddenly you just disappear.
There you go.
Seriously.
All right. Well, good. Good messages. And good. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that to the table. That's a good discussion as well. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, guys. Well, you've got plenty to chew on there. And you've got an assignment besides all the other stuff that you have to do. But read Revelation chapter 1 through 6. Find out which one of those or more apply to you. And I'm going to do the same thing this week. Okay, guys, you have a blessed week. You be safe out there. Join us each morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute with Lady Liberty and myself on the air, broadcasting out of Spokane. And you have been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.